Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, January the 30th, 2026, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book. We're in Bill's story on page 16. There is, however, and we're reading right down to the end of that page. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Tenzin P, 12 Traditions, Mary B, and readers of the text, Tamara C, Judith S.P., and Susan S.H. The share ID for today, for yesterday, Thursday, January the 29th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 23167, and the 10 a.m. meeting, 23168. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the people who suffer from compulsive who still suffer. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, for the last time this month, Tenzin P. will read the 12 steps. Good morning, Tenzin.
Good morning, Lynn and everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. Okay, and here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're in Bill's story on page 16, and we're going to be finishing it up. So we're starting at "there is, however," and reading right down to the bottom of the page. And this morning, Tamara C. is going to start us off. Good morning, Tamara.
Could I say the 12th edition?
Oh. Pardon me? Did I miss you, Mary?
Yes.
Good heavens. I am so sorry. I'm really struggling today. A brief pause while Mary reads the 12 traditions.
Thank you. I'm Mary B. from Kansas, a grateful compulsive overeater. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one purpose, primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible for those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Mary, thanks. Okay, so here we go. Then try again now. So Tamara C. is going to read for us, and that's on page 16. We're finishing up Bill's story, starting as "there is, however." Okay, welcome, Tamara. Thanks.
Thank you, Lynn, and thank you so much for the service that you give. It makes a big difference. Okay, there is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but just underneath there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. Each day, my friends, simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24, 1971. And I'm Tamara C., compulsive overeater, recovered in Missouri. And I get a little bit choked up when I read that last little bit. I just wonder if Bill had any inkling of the number of lives that would be changed by his story. He certainly changed my life with his story. So the word "however" means, you know, we've been saying something, however, so we've been talking about that we're dealing with a deadly disease of compulsive eating for us. And although we know the pain of those still suffering and seeking the recovery that we've been given, however, we have the ability to enjoy life, to experience peace and joy in the midst of struggle. And when I pick up the phone, I find a program friend who understands and who can even laugh with me. And all of this is available through faith, through a relationship with a loving power greater than myself. Bill shares his story with us, his devastation and misery, his attempts at self-reliance, his failure to conquer his disease on his own power. He shares the spiritual solution, how it was given to him, and how his misery was turned into lightheartedness and a purpose-filled, meaningful life. I used to think that for me, the fourth dimension would mean that I get control, I look good, I'm successful and respected. And instead, it's beyond my wildest dreams. I live a life in reality with life's ups and downs, and the fact that I can stay close to a higher power and I can meet calamity with serenity and feel useful, being of service to others, this really is way better than my old dream. I have this growing connection with a higher power who guides and strengthens me. And I do have this internal transformation that I didn't even know could be a thing, where I feel at peace with myself and my reality. And it's really beautiful. And I wish I could tell Bill how his story saved my life. So instead, I will tell you, all of you on this meeting, your stories are saving my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's keep sharing our stories. I pass.
Thank you so much for getting us started, Tamara C. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please, say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share this morning?
Loretta.
Jennifer.
Okay.
Jennifer. Mary D.
Okay.
Larry K.
All righty. Let's just hang on a second and let me catch up, okay? I'll tell you who I did here. And I got lost in all the names. I heard Loretta. I heard Janet B. I heard Larry K. There was a bunch of people I missed. Who did I miss?
Hanayeta.
Bonnie B. I heard Bonnie B. Yeah. Hanayeta and Bonnie B. Yep.
Pedro B.
Judith SP.
Judith and Pedro. Okay, let's stop there, please, just to let me catch up. This is who I heard. Loretta. Janet B., Larry K., Bonnie B., Hanayeta, Judith S.T., and Pedro. All right, that's a wonderful lineup. Thank you so much. And please remember to say your last initial when you come on and where you're calling from. So, Loretta, please go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, Lynn. What an honor to be the first one, and scary, too. Thank you for your service and also all of you for saving my life, along with my precious God, Loretta H. It's interesting because this last paragraph always reminds me of a Christmas card. Peace on earth, and God, I always say God's will to all men. And before I came into program, you know, I thought peace on earth and God's will at Christmas, I thought it was all about getting gifts and material stuff. And as I've come into program and realized that it is a peace, no God, no peace, or no God, no peace, I have realized that this peace on earth, that image of that, I used to be a little girl and I believed I lived outside the snow globe. But today, because of our practice, because of you guys, because I actually can live in the snow globe and be a part of, instead of a, you know, away or not enough or whatever. And, you know, Bill, you know, it was amazing because he suffered all the isms, and somebody said isms were, I'm seeking more stuff. And that is my story with whatever I do. Oh, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. But it's just amazing that today I can experience that Christmas card, where for many years I wanted to have that Christmas card and could never get there because of my spiritual malady, especially this overeating, because I identify more with Bill's story and my eating disorder than I do with any of my other addictions. So I'm just very grateful that today I can live in the snow globe of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm very grateful for that and grateful for all of you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Janet B., followed by Larry K. Good morning, Janet.
Morning, Lynn. Morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. Thank you for that lead show. That was gorgeous. Couple lines here really stood out to me. First, faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. Well, how does faith, right? Like, what does that mean? And I think for me, it means that I simply do what I think God wants me to, and I leave the results up to him. And a lot of times what that looks like is me keeping my mouth shut. So for instance, my son, he's 23, he's in the Army. He is now in Fort Benning, Georgia for some officer training, some pretty intense training. And before he left, he wasn't really prepping the way I thought he should. He wasn't running, he wasn't doing whatever. And I didn't say a word. And wouldn't you know, he had the hardest part of it this past week. And I'm thinking, there's no way he's going to pass because he didn't prep. But I didn't say a word. All I said was, I hope you do really well. And he passed. And because I had kept my mouth shut, I was able to just say, Daniel, I am so proud of you. That is great. Faith often means me keeping my mouth shut and just keeping my focus on what God wants me to do. And then that beautiful line, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself. And I'm thinking, what's the essence of that talk? And page 11, God had done for him what he could not do for himself. Well, that was me. That's what I needed. I couldn't stop binging. I needed God to do that for me. And this tells me, like page 11, it's a promise. God does for us what we could not do for ourselves. Well, that's a really great God. If he's going to take time out of like running this universe with all the stuff that's going on and help me do what I can't do for myself, this God must love me. This God must really care about me. So that enables me to have faith in him, to just trust him with my life and with the outcomes. And what else does it say about his friend's simple talk? Well, this wasn't so much the talk. This was what Ebby didn't say to Bill. He's sitting there, and Bill just said, never mind the musty past. Here sat a miracle directly across the kitchen table. He shouted great tidings, which is simply good news. Bill says, my ideas about miracles were drastically revised. That's what happened in that kitchen table. Ebby said, God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. And what is that that God does? He does miracles. Only a miracle could have stopped me binging. Only a miracle could stop me from holding my tongue when I want to tell my grown kids something. This program is all about miracles and nothing less. And it says that talk multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. And I'm just really blessed and grateful to be part of that circle. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Janet B. Larry K., it's your turn, followed by Bonnie B. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Lynn. Thanks for your service. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling from Chicago. You know, we read there is, however, a vast amount of fun about it. And just underneath, of course, there's deadly earnestness. If you've ever been to Chicago and you drive down Lakeshore Drive, what you'll experience is, you know, you got the iconic skyline views and the sharp curves at Beach, and it's kind of a multi-lane crazy experience. Pretty cool. Now, I've talked to a fellow in OA whose experiences driving down Lakeshore Drive match my own. See, for a normal person, they talk about, yeah, it's kind of, the skyline's pretty cool. But see, to my friend, his earlier experiences of driving down Lakeshore Drive with a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken in his lap, and he was throwing the bones out the window, the driver's side window, with one hand as he's simultaneously trying to navigate the road. See, to a normal person, this would sound absurd and tragic and dangerous. Not to me. This isn't a gentleman's disease. It's normal people wouldn't understand squirting liquid dish soap on a leftover chocolate cake to prevent us from eating it. Only trying to eat it anyway. See, to you, you know, you would understand. I have a friend in AA who received 3 tickets in one day for driving while intoxicated. And to a normal person, that's absurd. To a serious alcoholic, we call that possible, you know. And I guess living through the hell and surviving to see the other side gives us some worldliness and some humor, some levity. But the thought that this could again be our experience is always near. And, you know, it feels as though I was kind of lost in the woods. And when you're lost in the woods, the sight of a signpost is a great thing. It's a joyful experience in and of itself. And he who first sees the signpost shouts, "Look," and others gather around and stare at the signpost. Oh, my gosh. But when we found the road and we're passing the signpost every few miles, we no longer stop and stare, you know. The signposts encourage us, and we're grateful for the power that set them up. See, here's what I've come to believe. God's compulsion for grace is our liberation. And yet, as we read this morning, faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. But I maintain humor about some levity about this disease. I can laugh about this. I'm no longer a slave to this disease anymore. With that, I pass. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, Larry K. Bonnie B., it's your turn, followed by Hannah Yetta. Hi, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, my friend. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the shares and for your service this morning. Bonnie B., recovered by the grace of God, living in the state of Florida today. You know, I look at the paragraph before, unlovely creature. And we go from that to someone who gets to live in a state of utopia. Like, what happened? What happened? And then laughter also. Like, that is a huge thing for me. Being able to laugh about, this is how I showed up. And I showed up as best I could. But in this disease, I showed up. And I'm candid with people because then it allows them to lean in. That was one of the greatest gifts I was given, was people being honest, because then I felt like, for the first time, I wasn't unique. This is something that people that have this DNA do, most of the things that I did. But I get to live in a state of utopia. Why? Because I offer all of it to God. That's it. That is the end of the story. If I tether to anything for 30 seconds, I'm in jeopardy of my program. Either God is or he isn't. There is no middle road. And having it right now, here and now, this is what the big book gives us in that pause, his presence. I can live in the presence of my Creator 24 hours a day if I so choose to guard my thoughts, and if they don't line up with his word, to take them captive and to do what I need to do with them. Because those thoughts left unchecked are going to place me in a position of compromise. And I don't have an eating issue. I have a thinking issue. It's the fear. It's the discontent. It's the people not showing up the way I thought they should have showed up. And if I'm not God, it's not a problem. So, yes, I mean, when I talk with people, this is a disease that will kill us physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. How it starts and how it ends, it's different for each of us, but it doesn't have to be that way. And to have dropped into this program is one of the greatest gifts God ever gave me, because it set me free from something that held me captive for years and years. And I get to live now and not just be present, but be present. And so I think I'll pass with that. But thank you, everyone, and blessings to you all.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. Hanayetta from Plano, Texas, it's your turn, followed by Judith P. Welcome, Hanayetta.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for your service. My name is Hanayetta R., C-H-A-N-A, hyphen Y-E-T-T-A, R from Texas, if you're looking for me. And I want to welcome the newcomers, and I just love having newcomers on the meeting. You're the most important people here because we can't keep what we have unless we give it away. So please sign up today for a newcomer when it's time. This paragraph just really got to me, and I really didn't understand it because there's words in it that I didn't know. And Bill never used a word that he didn't want it to be exactly the way that I the way he wanted it to be. So I want to read some of this again. I suppose some would be shocked at our seemingly worldliness, quality of being experienced and sophisticated, and levity, humor, and lightheartedness. But just underneath, there is deadly earnestness, a sincere, intense conviction. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Perish is suffered death, typically in a violent or sudden or untimely way. Now, that makes sense to me. I just, you know, in the last chapter talked about committing suicide. I tried 3 times in my youth. Thank God it didn't work. But, you know, I was terrible. And when I got into this program, I did see people laughing and people having, you know, an amazing attitude towards things. And it amazed me, you know, it was just amazing, and I really love the fact that faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through me. In and through me, that means all around me, in me, my heart, my soul, my limbs, what I say, what I breathe in, what I exhale. It has to be totally immersed. God, faith has to be totally immersed in me 24 hours a day, even when I'm sleeping. And as soon as I wake up, the first thing I say is, I love you, God. Thank you for bringing me back. And thank you for this day. You only give me one day at a time. And so most of us feel the need to look no further for utopia. Now, I don't know if I have utopia, but I was at a funeral yesterday online with my husband, and I had a spiritual. All of a sudden, I realized that, what am I doing arguing with him? It's silly. He could go to bed and not wake up tomorrow. And that, you know, this lady just died out of the clear blue.
I'm pleased, Hanayetta. Thank you.
Okay. One second. Full of life. And I just wanted to say that I'm so grateful for this program, or I would have never seen that. Don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you, Hanayetta from Texas. Judith S.P., welcome, followed by Pedro. Hi, Judith.
Hi, Lynn. Hi, everybody. My name is Judith S.P. I live in Maryland, and I don't know where I'd be without God and vision. So thank you all. And most importantly, thank you, God. Fun, levity, humor, smiles. When I was at the Vision for You weekend, the muscles in my smile and in my joy and my face, they didn't hurt. They were just exercised to the extreme. And in walking around and looking in the eyes and faces and energy of other folk. Yeah, it was joyful. It was humorous. The dance was fun. But when we went into the rooms and when I had some one-on-one or small group conversations at meals, there was terrific earnestness and sincerity and right to the depth of the soul conversation. And yeah, faith without works, it's been mentioned. I have to have, for my well-being and for my purpose in this world, God with me 24/7, every second, not even every minute, every second has to be God-centered. And we have the utopia here right now, in me, around me, through me, with you. The options, the opportunities are beyond my wildest dreams. And it's not in fireworks and yippee-you that I feel it all the time. But my heart is full, it's warm. And just a last thought, I don't know why as I was listening, I thought of in the Hebrew, I don't speak Hebrew, but they go from right to left, and we go from left to right. And somehow being at the end of Bill's story, which is really just the beginning, I was thinking, wouldn't it be interesting to read this chapter from the last paragraph to that first paragraph at the beginning to see the incredible reverse transformation. And that's what I'm seeing in my life, in the lives of other people. And it truly is, as was mentioned, miraculous. There's no other word for it. So thank you for letting me share. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Judith S.P. And now we have Pedro. Hi, Pedro.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for your service. Thanks, everybody, for being here and making the unity. And I feel so fortunate I was able to rest well and get up early this morning and wake up to this meeting, go to this meeting and find this two paragraphs that I just, when I heard it, it's like, it was like a new thing for me, you know, this idea of there is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. And it's like, I'm having fun with this recovery. I'm enjoying, you know, it's like the way I feel because of following this program, because of recovery, it's fun. It's like, why would I go back to eating the way I was when this is so much fun, it's healthier? I mean, the benefits of my recovery, you know, I've been thin and miserable, and I don't like that. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy my daily life. This is a daily program, right? Like my friend said, it's not for people who need it, for people who want it, for people who do it. And I'm so grateful that I'm doing this on a daily basis because, again, I suppose some will be shocked in our seemingly worldline and levity. I look, English is my second language, right? It's obvious. But I looked up the word levity. And I find.
Oh, Pedro, we've lost you there. Can you try star one?
Can
again,
you hear
please?
Me? Can you hear
can.
Me now? Okay.
Yes, we can. Thank you, Pedro.
I don't know wherever I ended up, but I'll just continue here to the best of my ability. Let me know when my time is up. So it says, I was talking about looking at the word levity and levity, humor of futility, especially the treatment of serious matter with humor or in a manner lacking due respect. You know, it's like when I talk to normal people, you know, and I told them I don't eat sweets, I don't eat starches, I don't eat grains. It's like, are you crazy? Yesterday I was with some friends, here, have some candy. And they say, no thanks, I don't need sugar. Oh, that can't be, that's impossible.
Oh, Pedro, we've lost you again.
Okay, I guess I keep getting lost. Anyways, it's about having fun, people. Let's enjoy our recovery. I love you all. I'll keep coming back.
Thank you very much, Pedro. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, I'll just let you know where we are. We're continuing our study of the Big Book, and we're finishing up Phil's story. On page 16, there is, however, a vast amount of fun and reading down to the end of the page. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience,
Julianne,
we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share? And I heard Julie M. Who else is there?
Jessica S. from Ohio.
Robbie.
Moraine S. Miami.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard, please. I heard Julie M. I heard Jessica, I believe. And there's somebody S. Moraine S. I'm not sure the
Miami.
First name.
Moraine.
Miami is
Robin
okay.
P. in Tennessee.
All right, I heard Robin P. Who else?
Lauren Grace B., New Jersey.
Gotcha, thank you. Okay, let me tell you. Go ahead.
Liz E., New York.
Liz E., New York. All right, let me tell you who I did hear. I heard Julie M., I heard Jessica. I heard some lady whose name I can't get. It sounds like Miami to me, S. Robin P., Lauren Grace, and Liz E. Okay, Julie M., good morning.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Julie M. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I live in New York. Gratefully recovered today, and thank you, moderator. I apologize for interrupting. I was just taken aback with this paragraph and the lead share and everyone's comments around the room and how, you know, living in this recovered state in utopia, I never thought could be possible. And, you know, today I have a life beyond my wildest dreams. In the last sentence, when, you know, Bill says, peace on earth and goodwill to men. And, you know, like somebody was explaining that they see this in a Christmas card. It's a gift every day, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. And this past year in 2025, I had the greatest opportunity to go to Stepping Stones, and I live in New York, and it's only like an hour and 10 minutes away from me. But what a gift that was to actually have seen the table where Bill would sit with other recovering people in AA, and how I had the greatest opportunity to go with people from Vision twice in 2025 to have experienced this incredible museum, and how beautiful it was, and the history behind the the AA fellowship, and how Bill gracefully gave this program to us through God's grace and mercy, and how, you know, today I have that joy, that inner joy of being recovered because of the people that are on this line. And I just feel such love, and I feel choked up right now because there is a lot of love on this line, and there is a lot of hope. And if you're struggling, keep coming back, because this is where the miracle happens. And thank you for allowing me to share. Have a beautiful day, everybody.
Thank you, Julie M. from New York. Next up is Jessica, followed by Marina S. Hi, Jessica.
Yes, hi. Jessica S. from Ohio. I was just telling someone how I had to throw out a bag of Skittles, and I told them that, you know, I would eat like a few of them, and I'll be fine. I mean, I'll be like completely fine. And then my brain thinks, you know, okay, another seven, but then all of a sudden, it's like the more sevens I have, I'm ramming through the bag like a raccoon. I hate to bring that word, but it's almost like it's my accident. I said, it will, like, I live by Lake Erie, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And I said, if we were at a family picnic, my thought would be, you know, to that product, to that commodity. I said, it wouldn't be the laughter, the enjoyment, the, you know, interacting with others. It wouldn't even be, you know, the softball game or whatever entertainment is going on. It's almost like a spell. And when I'm not in the food, I'm actually in utopia. So I love the line where it says that, we look no further to utopia, because talking to another compulsive overeater, people get it. Because my friend who's not a compulsive overeater said, Jessica, you're crazy. That's insane. And I was just like, yeah, but that's me. And then, but to a compulsive overeater, if I told them that same story, they would be like, yes, I get it. I've done that. And then we would be laughing and sharing about the horror days. Anyway, with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jessica S. from Ohio. Next, we have this lady whose name, I am so sorry, I have no idea what your first name is. I'm going to say Marina S., followed by Robin P. Welcome.
Thanks, Han, so much for your service. It's okay. It's like music. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, mo, re, mi. Thank you all for being here. Very much gratitude for everyone in service. Wow, when he talked about this unlovely creature, I'm very new here to OA. Vision Conference was my very first meeting, and I'm so grateful to my sponsor in another fellowship, who's my North Star, who got me there. And it just reminded me when I walked in the room of the Vision Conference, and I've got to be honest, and I've said this a million times, I was not comfortable. There were so many things that just made me uncomfortable, you know, as a woman of color. And by the end of that conference, God had removed a lot of my hesitation, because this disease has almost killed me, you know. And I have seen suicide, you know, meaning I've touched on death, because I would kill myself, you know, with food. And if it wasn't the food that was going to kill me, it was, you know, my own self-sabotage of my thought process around my life as an African-American woman growing up in the Deep South, in New Orleans, and, you know, suffering on the inside. So by the time I left, you know, I realized, you know, all of our organs look the same on the inside. And quite frankly, my sponsor doesn't look like me in another program. And if it was not for her guidance, I would have never been at OA. So it's a gift. And this program teaches me, like, how unlovely of a creature I have been, and that I never forget it, right? When I want to sit and gorge my face and get diarrhea from what I've eaten, right, quietly and sneaking, I found my tribe, right? So when this grade says shock at our worldliness and levity, levity is to levitate, to be light, right? I walk out lighter, right? There's other fellows I can talk to. And the utopia, well, I'm one of those people most of us. I'm not that person because God in heaven, you know, is my utopia. But the next best thing, right, is a fellowship, right? It's talking with another fellow about the struggle with, you know, sitting and just gorging, you know, over a lot of pain, right? Over memories of my life in these rooms, right? It says the simple talk, a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. So I had to walk through those halls and, you know, like really get a vision for what this, like, peace on earth. Like, I ain't there yet, you know? And because I'm not there yet, right? You know, I got to work this program, you know, till I die. What? Or this food? Like, it's going to kill me. Or either send me back to a mental ward, right? Because there's no other, there's been no other way, right? The therapist, right, since I'm
time
four. Thank you, Han. Thank you guys for being here. Much gratitude.
Thank you, Moraine S. Next, we have Robin P., followed by Lauren Grace. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Lynn. Thanks so much for your service. Thank you, everyone who makes this meeting possible. I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater currently in Franklin, Tennessee. And, oh, my gosh, I love these paragraphs. I think this is my one of my favorite sentences in the big book. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. And it's such a great reminder. And I get to keep growing spiritually so I can have this. And, you know, the joy of recovery. Oh, my gosh. And my husband's also in a recovery program, in a 12-step program. And, you know, we laugh a lot. I'm so grateful. We used to be so miserable. And I feel so grateful to be happy, joyous, and free today. And, you know, we lived in Costa Rica for 3 years, and we moved here, and we have these two dogs from Costa Rica who adopted us there. They showed up at our house and adopted us. And watching them try to walk through this ice storm with us, I think someone's unmuted, if just check your mute status, you know, and just wondering what the heck this white stuff was on the ground. And you know, it was just so funny. And I was praying for the robins because there are so many robins here, the birds. And I kept thinking, oh, my gosh, it's so freezing here. And it's just, how will they survive? And I promise this happened 3 days ago. I'd been praying for the birds. And all of a sudden, and my husband and we went out in the backyard. We cleared off the deck and got some grass for the dogs. And all of a sudden, 100 robins came in our backyard, the three backyards that are next to each other. We don't spray pesticide, the three of us. And I think that because of that, they came and they had this feast. And my husband had cleared off all this ice, and there were still bugs alive in the ground. And they just had this huge party in our backyard. And it was so amazing. And all of these things happen. And I get to see them through the eyes of recovery and gratitude, holding God's hand. And I would have missed all of that. I used to miss everything. I was alone in a room with the food, you know. And now I get to witness these things that feel really miraculous and very connected to Holy Spirit. And I'm just eternally grateful. I'm also, you know, going for my dreams again, and I thought I was retired, and I am apparently not retired, and, you know, it's just God is doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, and I get to show up and participate in my own recovery, and I just finished another 4-step, and it's a faith that works when we work it, and, you know, I get to keep growing, and God is steering the boat. God bless everybody with a really blessed, abstinent day, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. from Tennessee. Lauren Grace, it's your turn, followed by Lizzie. Hi, Lauren Grace.
Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Lauren Grace B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater calling from South Jersey. There's just a few sentences in this passage that stand out to me. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. And to me, this means I cannot rest on my laurels. I can't say I've been abstinent this many years. I've been in the program this many years. None of that matters. It, all that matters is today. What am I doing today for my recovery? You know, am I helping others? Am I sharing OA with others? Am I, for me, this means working the tools as well. Am I, you know, doing outreach calls? Am I connecting with God through prayer and meditation? Am I working all the steps? Am I doing a 10th step when I'm restless, irritated, or discontent? I have to work these principles in all my affairs 24 hours a day. Or I perish, or I go back to the food. That's a promise. Along with all the wonderful promises we have that promise as well, that if we don't work our program on a daily basis, we go back to the food. And I think of the quote at the end, peace on earth and good will to men. And it is referring to a specific thing, peace on earth, good will to men. And I just think of in the spirit of the holiday that's referenced, there's a name and it's called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And that just means so much to me. God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. God is with me always. God came to me. God chose to come to me to rescue me. And it says we need no longer look further for utopia. We have it with us here and now. That's because each of us has a higher power. That means no matter what we go through, we do not go through it alone. That means no matter what is happening, we have guidance. We will always know the next right thing. And if we don't know the next right thing, God will give us the grace just to pause and be still and be quiet. So this is a wonderful passage to me, and I'm grateful for the opportunity I had to share. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lauren Grace B. from New Jersey. And Liz
Moby S. What was her state?
New Jersey. Liz E., you're going to finish us up, please. Welcome, Liz.
Thank you. I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm Lizzie, a compulsive overeater. This wording is so powerful. You know, it's struggles, you know, of life with addiction. And it says, there is, however, a vast amount of fun about it. Not just a little bit, not just here and there, but there's a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seemingly worldliness and levity, but just underneath there is deadly earnestness. You know, it's like just if you think about it, it's like walking on a iced over river, you know. Boy, if you need that ice to stay afloat, and if you lose that fun and that levity and that ability to connect and let go of our character defects and talk about our lives with each other, you know, that ice can crack and we're just going to get pulled under with our addiction. And having this program and being able to look at myself and deal with my character defects and my mistakes and the disappointments of life and be able to process that with the 10th step, give that away to God and to another human, I can have enjoyment of life in every other area of my life. But it was those things that would drag me under and that would really make me vulnerable to that next binge. So there is fun. Who else can you talk to, you know, about maybe some kind of awkward social moment with the food and just find somebody to laugh about it? And, you know, any shame that might be there just gets diminished when we can share it with each other and that person will say, hey, I had that same type of experience. Here's what happened to me. And each day, you know, my friend's simple talk in her kitchen multiplies itself. Wow. It gets replicated. The joy, the freedom, the connection with God, we pass it on to others. And it's a widening circle of peace and goodwill. And I think about the unity we have here in this program and how there is unity. There is no unity in so many spheres of our culture. But no matter who we are, we can have peace and goodwill in this ever-widening circle of connection that we share. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz E. from New York. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Friday for their service in the month of January. Tenzin T., Mary B., Tamara C., Judith S. T., Susan S. H., Michelle J., and Eileen M. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for today, Friday, January the 30th, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 23170. That's 23170. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Judith S.T., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, everyone. Judith S.P. again. Very grateful to be reading the closing. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is sick. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.